Before daylight, we reached the bank of the Tagliamento and followed down along the flooded river to the bridge where all the traffic was crossing. "They ought to be able to hold at this river," Piani said. In the dark, the flood looked high. The water swirled and it was wide. The wooden bridge was nearly 3/4 of a mile across, and the river, that usually ran in narrow channels in the wide stony bed far below the bridge, was close under the wooden planking. We went along the bank and then worked our way into the crowd that were crossing the bridge. Crossing slowly in the rain a few feet above the flood, pressed tight in the crowd, a box of artillery case on just ahead, I looked over the side and watched the river. Now that we could not go our own pace, I felt very tired. There was no exhilaration in crossing the bridge. I wondered what it would be like if a plane bombed it in the daytime. "Piani," I said.
"Here I am, Tenente."
He was a little ahead in the jam. No one was talking. They were all trying to get across as soon as they could, thinking only of that. We were almost across. At the far end of the bridge, there were officers and carabinieri, standing on both sides, flashing lights. I saw them silhouetted against the skyline. As we came close to them, I saw one of the officers point to a man in the column. A carabiniere went in after him and came out holding the man by the arm. He took him away from the road. We came almost opposite them. The officers were scrutinizing everyone in the column, sometimes speaking to each other, going forward to flash a light in someone's face. They took someone else out just before we came opposite. I saw the man. He was a lieutenant colonel. I saw the stars in the box on his sleeve as they flashed a light on him. His hair was gray and he was short and fat. The carabiniere pulled him in behind the line of officers. As we came opposite, I saw one or two of them look at me. Then one pointed at me and spoke to a carabiniere. I saw the carabiniere start for me, come through the edge of the column toward me, then felt him take me by the collar. "What's the matter with you?" I said and hit him in the face. I saw his face under the hat, upturned mustaches and blood coming down his cheek. Another one dove in toward us. "What's the matter with you?" I said. He did not answer. He was watching a chance to grab me. I put my arm behind me to loosen my pistol. "Don't you know you can't touch an officer?" The other one grabbed me from behind and pulled my arm up so that it twisted in the socket. I turned with him, and the other one grabbed me around the neck. I kicked his shins and got my left knee into his groin. "Shoot him if he resists," I heard someone say. "What's the meaning of this?" I tried to shout, but my voice was not very loud. They had me at the side of the road now. "Shoot him if he resists," an officer said. "Take him over back."
"Who are you?"
"You'll find out."
"Who are you?"
"Battle police," another officer said. "Why don't you ask me to step over instead of having one of these airplanes grab me?" They did not answer. They did not have to answer. They were battle police.
"Take him back there with the others," the first officer said. "You see, he speaks Italian with an accent."
"So do you, you," I said.
"Take him back with the others," the first officer said.